showing and the telling of who Jesus was and is. It is an exciting time because even though the world is in a harder place, as it often is, we believe that something extraordinary has happened in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we believe that that truth gives us the power and the courage and the sustenance to work for justice and mercy and kindness and peace. And so now more than ever, the message of renewal and resurrection and redemption are words that we need to hear and experiences that we need to have and pass on. So let us open our hearts and minds this Easter morning to be renewed and refreshed and prepared to be God's people in the world. It is wonderful to worship with you. God bless you all. Thank you for coming.
Would you join me, please, in the call to worship found printed in your bulletin? If you were not risen, Lord Christ, to whom would we go to discover the radiance of the face of God? We would not find in your presence forgiveness, a wellspring of a new beginning. But you are risen, radiant face of God.
You are risen, one who makes us whole.
You are risen, and we worship you now and forever. And let us continue together in prayer. God of the open garden, we have found you and long to hold you fast. But you refuse our clinging need, eluding the love that would bind and possess you, sending us out beyond the bounds of our feeble knowing. Wrapped in our joy and desire, we cannot interpret you. You have gone from us again, moving into morning, moving into light. In your great love, wait for us where you have sent us. Go ahead of us. Be there to meet us, risen, released in your world. Amen. If the children would come forward and please meet with me. Thanks, Dalton. Hi, Henry. Good morning. I wonder, as you're coming forward, can anybody imitate a bee? Bzzz, you guys want to come sit right here in this front? Hughes, good morning, everybody. Does anybody know what a bee sounds like? Bzzz, good morning to you. Bzzz. Nobody can do it? Wow, how about you? Any of you guys make a bee? Bzzz. Why do we need bees? Does anybody know? Yeah? To pollinate flowers. And if there were no more bees, then no flowers would be pollinated. And do you know what that means? No potatoes, no coffee, no mangoes, no bananas, no apples, no cherries, no strawberries. Can you imagine? Like, bees are what feed us. But we don't always make that connection. So I wanted to think about a way that you guys could take the Easter story, which is about Jesus coming back from the dead and giving us life, and think about how you could give life. So where would we be without food? We'd be in big trouble. We would be really in big trouble. So I thought maybe as we think about how Jesus gave us new life and helps us to encourage life, we could help give life to bees. So I was looking, and I came across these things called seed balls or seed bombs, and they're these little dirt balls that have seeds in them, and you throw them on the ground, and you can push them in the dirt a little or not, but you water them, and these wildflowers grow that are especially delicious to honeybees. And so the honeybees come, bzz, bzz, and they get a little pollen, and they go, bzz, and they eat a little bit, and they bring the pollen, and then the food grows. So I have made for each of you a seed ball. So I was just going to buy these seed balls because I thought they were so cool, so I sent away for them, and then I posted on Facebook, hey, my children's Easter sermon is about seeds. And a whole bunch of people got them, and someone graciously in the congregation said, I want to make sure all the adults get seed balls too. So I went back online. They were sold out. Because I made it so popular. Because all my friends said, can I copy? Can I copy? But here's the thing. One, I got to have a kit where I made us seed balls for all the grown-ups. So there are seeds for each family to take up on home and throw it in the yard or bury it halfway. But it also means that I know of 6 churches in Vermont that are going to plant wildflowers that bees are going to love. So they're going to be over in Essex Junction and in Randolph and in Montpelier and in North Pomfret and in Heartland and in Windsor and wherever you live that you're going to take your thing home to. So I am so clicky. This is a little seed pot with directions on it, and it has a sugar stick, because you haven't had enough sugar this morning, I don't think. Right, I think I have. And it also has a honey stick, which you'll have to wait to get home and open. But anyone under 2 years old isn't supposed to eat honey. So if you're under 2, I know you're keeping track of this, please don't eat the honey. She can't have it, but she can have a sugar stick because, you know, that's what we feed our children. So I hope that you guys will plant these seeds, that you'll take them home and that you'll water them well. Can you pass that on? Thank you. There you go. And that you'll think about how when Jesus came back from the dead, he gave new life, and that we should pass it on, and that this is a way to pass on life. Would you all pray with me? Would everyone pray with me? Dear God, thank you for Jesus, who loves us and gives us life. And thank you, God, for asking us to give life.
To bees and to each other.
We love you, God.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. So thank you very much. Enjoy your sugar stick now if you'd like, and your honey at home. This Lent, we have engaged in a series called Come to the Table. And we've been looking at all kinds of tables where Jesus shared meals and conversations with others. Often the kind of talking that took place challenged those who were gathered there, but not always. We began by being reminded of the wedding banquet, where Jesus turned three huge pots of water into the best wine that had been tasted the whole day. And that week we also looked at God's generous provision of manna and quail in the wilderness as the Israelites fled the oppressive Egyptian overlords. Next week we sat at a Pharisee's table where Jesus was joined by a woman who showed him affection and respect, excessively, some people who were there thought. The Pharisee who had hosted the dinner looked down upon Jesus, seeming oblivion about the bad reputation of the woman who was fawning on him and that he was letting him touch. Jesus turned the conversation around and he chastised the Pharisee for not having offered the traditional gestures of hospitality, foot washing, kissing, welcoming. The woman left the table blessed, and the Pharisee, who thought he had everything he needed, left it judged. The next week, we were at another Pharisee's table. Jesus spent a lot of time eating with people who he didn't agree with, which might be a good model for us. This Pharisee table showed us that our ideas of the perfect guest list, our family, our friends, those who can help us get ahead at work, are not really who we ought to invite. Instead, Jesus said we should invite the poor and the blind, the crippled and the lame. And in so doing, we will find that we are blessed. At the same table, the conversation continued the next week, and we heard a list of the kind of things that distracted ancient people from focusing upon their spiritual lives. And we were compelled to think about what distracts us from focus upon our spiritual life. For 1 week, we moved beyond Jesus' earthly life and heard about early Christians as they tried to understand who they ought to share table fellowship with. You see, in Judaism, which was the tradition that Jesus embodied, there were very strict laws about food purity and preparation. And so it made eating with other people almost impossible. One of the new things that God did when initiating Christianity was to do away with these laws. And Christians were encouraged to eat with everyone they found, and especially the most vulnerable that they would encounter. The final table that we saw Jesus near, he flipped over in frustration and anger. It was a table that had been in the temple and used to sell religious items that were an attempt to try to influence God on one's behalf. Jesus said that those folks who were in the temple who were selling these items had lost their way. They were so busy lining their own pockets, even in God's house, that they had forgotten that they were meant to be in relationship with God and with each other. How often might we be so preoccupied by day-to-day details of existence that we forget that we are called to be in relationship with God and with each other? All of these table conversations underline the profound hope that God in Christ has, that table fellowship will change us, that it will make us tender toward one another and toward our beloved God. It's almost as if the power and the passion that Jesus exerts in these conversations is because he has such high hopes for what coming to the table can do and can mean for us, both the tables where we share simple meals and the table of the Lord. We can find God, friends. We can find one another, and we can find even ourselves. So let us approach every table from now on with an open heart and an open mind and a sense of gratitude and expectation. the table both as a place to eat a meal and as a place to encounter the risen Christ in sacrament has the power to transform us. Our choir throughout this Lenten period has learned two beautiful anthems that strengthen this point. In the song that we'll hear now, the choir reminds us that the table of Jesus Christ is a table of grace, where all are welcome, no matter who we are or what we've done or where we've been. It's a place where our weary souls will find rest and be healed. So this Easter, may we all come to the table of grace.
From the 16th chapter of Exodus, the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God."
From the second chapter of John, nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him.
From the 14th chapter of Luke. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
From the 11th chapter of Acts. Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.'"
From the 26th book of Matthew. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at table with the 12.
Come and take your place.
Would you please join me in the poem of Reorientation by Anne Weems? I will read the first part, you'll respond, and then we'll read together. The silence breaks into morning. That one star lights the world. The lily springs to life, and not even Solomon.
Let it begin with singing and never end. O angels, quit your lamenting. O pilgrims, on your knees in tearful prayer. Rise up and take your hearts and run.
We who were no people are named anew God's people. For he who was no more is forevermore. Let us stand and join together in singing hymn number 190. Tell me the stories of Jesus. Please be seated. One of the most holy times of the year is the week leading up to Easter, called Holy Week. And it begins with Jesus entering Jerusalem riding on a donkey, while the residents of the city shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." They wave palm branches, and we're told they even took their cloaks off. And they're not like us. They didn't have 30 or 40 coats between all the different seasons and color palettes and different times of cloth that we like. They probably had one. But they laid it on the ground so that the donkey didn't even have to touch the earth. It's a time of expectation and great joy. They were a people living in an occupied land, and they longed for freedom. And so they saw this man as the coming Messiah who would change everything. It's a time where they were filled with hope and expectation. And even though things turn sinister and heartbreaking and violent by week's end, this moment is one where they revel in imagining that all that holds them down has been released. Our choir helps us feel some of that exaltation with their anthem, Palm Sunday Processional. Choir, chime choir, musicians.
Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he
Would you please read with me the prayer found printed in the bulletin? Love of Jesus, fill me. Joy of Jesus, surprise me. Peace of Jesus, flood me. Touch of Jesus, warm me. Strength of Jesus, encourage me. O Savior, in your agony, forgive me. In your wounds, hide me. And in your risen life, take me with you. For love of you and of your world, take who I am, what I have, all that will be, and use it to bless creation with your people and your peace. Amen. And would you please remain standing and join in singing hymn 224, Christ Arose.
Our final piece is called Crown Him the Risen King, and I love singing this piece, and I love hearing my choir sing this piece, and I want you to join with us. You have some text in your bulletin. I will turn around and give you this gesture, and you will stand up and you will sing like it's Easter morning, because it is.
Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Oh,
Now hear these words from Jan Richardson. You had not imagined that you could be filled so. And now you carry like an awful treasure that curls itself, how the emptiness of a new world has come into you and has opened you up. So why do you linger here? You have been seen. You are holy and blessed. There is no other word that you need. There is simply this. Within you, there is a wholeness. Within you, there is a knownness. Within you, there is a blessing. Within you, death has been met and come to new life. Within you, you are alive. There is simply this. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. Thanks be to God. Happy Easter. God bless you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.